Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day today. Hope you guys had a fun weekend. Got a lot of articles lined up for you today. And, of course, if you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us at healthmasters.com at the website. This is going to be rolling out the new website. I've told you guys we're working on it this week. So we're going to have both, actually two different websites for you guys to be able to use and activate and interact with. And we're working on a third platform with an entirely new show website, as far as almost kind of be like a YouTube style layout with different shows, different titles, different photos, and more descriptions on it, and more interaction, and different types of blogs and stuff that are going to be on there. So be sure and get ready for that, because a lot of the stuff's going to be coming out here in the near future. And of course, if you guys need anything, the Excellent C on sale right now for product of the week at healthmasters.com. Be sure to take advantage of that special right now, as vitamin C is one of our most popular formulas we have. And of course, the purple sticks, as you guys saw, I've seen a lot of them on the website already, and a lot of you have already taken advantage of ordering them on the website at Health Masters. Those are on right now. Now, again, giving everybody a heads up, I told you this is like the first batch that we made right out the gate, and it's incredibly well. It's very effective. And there was some new edits that we had to make on the boxes, because there were some misprints that were put on there as far as from the supplier that we didn't approve of. And there's just basically a mistake. And so we're having the boxes redone. And so the next batch will be coming in about 2 or 3 weeks. But there's not a whole lot of these left. So just giving everybody a heads up on that. Over the next couple of days, they may be getting pulled off the website until we get more in stock, obviously, in the next couple of weeks. So if you want to grab a box, be sure to try them out right now, or stack up on a few of them until we get the next batch. The next batch is going to be a lot bigger, so it'll be a full run that we basically have ready to rock and roll, and we'll have that for supply continually. Shouldn't have any delays on that one. So we'll continue to keep you guys in stock with that. And also, too, be sure to vote for what you want to see win product of the week over at healthmasters.com. The CortiCare B5, B6, along with the zinc and the liver support, all of those are pulling really, really strong right now as far as voting. So be sure to take advantage of those. And also the immune system support kit. That's our D3, our zinc, and our vitamin C with antioxidants. That's also on sale right now for over 5% off on the front webpage. So be sure to check that out. Also, too, in other news, as far as with health news, this is something that's interesting. And it's funny, because somebody sent me this article, because I talked about it last week. They sent me another article following up on it. And this article was back from May 2020. So May 21st, 2020. This was at the height of the scare of COVID, where the mainstream media was literally trying to instill fear in the entire world every single day, nonstop, 24 hours a day, doing the PSYOP that we now know was the COVID-19. And what's interesting is this article, what it says, how vitamin C evidence is being censored because of COVID. And this is a pretty cool article, as far as it kind of takes you a step back and reminds everybody of what they did. Because I bring this up a lot, but this one's interesting. It said, many of you already know about vitamin C and its use for cold and flu, but doctors who administer, even promote this nutrient right now during COVID-19 are risking intimidation, censorship, and arrest. On April 23rd, 2020, FBI agents raided Allure Medical Clinic in Shelby Township, Michigan. The visit came soon after Allure announced that they were treating COVID-19 patients using intravenous vitamin C therapy with amazing results. In the press release, the clinic's founder, osteopath Dr. Charles Mock, offered free high-dose vitamin C treatment for anyone working closely with the public, hospital staff, police, law enforcement, first responders, etc. I said anyone else who had been exposed to the virus or exhibiting symptoms was also welcome to try the treatment. Mock said his aim was to support people's immune systems and help those with COVID-19. So he was actually administering this for free to first responders and anybody that was involved directly with people that basically may be, you know, infected with COVID-19 virus. So it wasn't even like this was a giant cash grab. He was trying to make an enormous amount of money. It was actually costing him money to do this, but yet he wanted to get the information out there, and he wanted to keep people healthy. He said he wanted to provide the treatment to those who needed it, regardless of their ability to pay. Mock was charged with health care fraud and conspiracy to commit health care fraud. The statement from the U.S. Attorney General from Eastern District of Michigan claims that Mock took advantage of fear surrounding COVID-19 to profit illegally by offering high-dose intravenous vitamin C to patients at risk and those who tested positive for the virus. They said Dr. Mott claimed that Allure offered the infusions because vitamin C reduces the severity of symptoms during the illness and therefore the contagiousness of vitamin C or contagiousness of COVID-19. There are no known USDA, FDA-approved vaccines or drugs to treat COVID-19 currently at the time. This is misinformation. Now, what's crazy about this was there's no significant downside to trying vitamin C ever under any circumstances. That was the irony about all of this, when it wasn't that he was going in and raking in millions of dollars a week by trying to rip people off with some healthcare fraud scam that we've seen Pfizer and numerous other companies do on a regular basis, coming out with products that don't work, that are actually unbelievably dangerous, that cause significant health problems. Vitamin C is complete opposite of that. There's nothing but enormous benefits to taking vitamin C. In fact, it's a nutrient that I talked to you guys about last week that is extremely crucial for the body, and it has to have it because human beings cannot generate their own vitamin C. So Dr. Mock was doing this. He was helping out hundreds of people. He had like 100% success rate with people that are recovering from COVID-19 with vitamin C, yet they came in and charged him. And what's crazy about this now, if you look at a lot of the studies, they look into the effects of what vitamin C does in treating with COVID and other types of viruses, and every single thing he said at the current time has now been proven true. Everything, including the same things that we talked about as well with using the vitamin C and the D3 and the zinc in conjunction with one another. And what's crazy about this is that when you see the research come out now, the U.S. FDA, the Attorney General in Michigan, nobody's ever issued an apology or retraction or come out and said, you know what, maybe we should have allowed vitamin C to be used a little bit more therapeutically since there was nothing approved, there was nothing out there, and yet they want to say that the COVID-19 shot was the new emergency use authorization treatment for COVID, when in reality, it did nothing but harm people. There's an article now that came out, and it was discussing Dr. Naomi Wolf, how Pfizer knew newborns and fertility, it was adversely affected by the COVID-19 jab. Dr. Naomi Wolf joined a panel of experts at the wellness company's Spike Symposium to break down Pfizer's attempt to cover up adverse events of its experimental COVID-19 vaccine on fertility and newborns. She goes on to say that, and this is what she said, is there's a section in the Pfizer documents where there's an 80% miscarriage rate of women who they were following to term, and they happen to lose 236 out of the 270 records of the pregnant women they have. But the ones they keep, 80% of those lose the baby. She wanted to describe the batch of the Pfizer clinical trial documents known as Report 69, which detailed how Pfizer and the FDA knew by early 2021 that the RNA COVID-19 shot resulted in horrible damages to fetuses and babies. She goes on to say that shows Pfizer knew that babies in utero were being exposed to the vaccine and spike protein. In their words, the babies were dying through transplacental exposure, and they knew that they were poisoning them through the breast milk and that the lipid nanoparticles, the RNA, and presumably the spike protein were making their way in the breast milk and causing convulsions and death. And this is something we went into detail about the research, and yet you had Walensky from the CDC back then get on national television multiple times to say, listen, the most effective thing you can do right now as a pregnant woman is go get the shot. Not vitamin C, not D3, not zinc, go get the shot. And, of course, we saw how this turned out for a lot of individuals, unfortunately. So, again, another reason why it's so important to make sure you're doing the research and staying strong and healthy. And that's why, again, we always recommend using the vitamin C on a regular basis over at healthmasters.com. Also, too, in other news, health topics that are getting more and more, you know, updates. There's a new article now that's going into detail on how vitamin C has been shown to improve blood sugar levels and reduce blood pressure in patients with type 2 diabetes. This is actually a pretty cool article because it piggybacks on the fact that the CDC came out and reported that one-third of the American population is pre-diabetic now with elevated blood glucose levels. And if left untreated, it's going to be full-blown type 2 diabetes, which currently affects over 30 million people. In a new Australian study that shows that vitamin C can lower elevated blood glucose in type 2 diabetes, helping to control the dangerous after-meal surges and spikes. Now, before I get into this in any detail and further, this is one of the reasons why we put together the berberine and the cinnamon extract formula kit. Those two products together work incredibly well at maintaining blood sugar and keeping it at a stable rate and not having the blood sugar spikes and crashes that people end up having all day when they're eating high sugar foods and basically eating a lot of carbohydrates. Because when you start doing that, you start increasing insulin levels, which increases body fat, which puts more stress on the pancreas, and the list goes on and on and on. And so it's really important to make sure you try to maintain that balanced diet throughout the day. That's why I always tell people it's always better to eat small meals more frequently throughout the day instead of people with, like, they'll eat one meal at breakfast if they eat that, and then they eat one gigantic meal at dinner. And so intermittent fasting is not a problem if that's what your overall goal is. However, it needs to be set up correctly. And the meals after the intermittent fasting need to also be smaller as well. Because what happens is if you fast for an extended period of time and then you go in and eat some massive, gigantic whopper of a meal at the end of the day, you're negating all the benefits from the fasting because you're overloading your body with entirely too much food. You're ingesting more calories than your body can even process. And then on top of that, you end up spiking your blood sugar. And so the benefits of the intermittent fasting are well outweighed as far as with the negatives from overeating a massive amount of food at the end of the day. Because I've seen people who have done that before, and I've talked to them and tried to give them some advice. They go, well, I'm doing this intermittent fasting, and it's working okay, but I'm still having a lot of problems with it. And they kind of explained to me what's going on. And I said, dude, listen, the problem is you're doing fasting for 16 hours a day, and then you're eating a 3,000-calorie meal at the end of the day, especially when you're more in a sedentary state. You're not really getting up and walking around or exercising or, you know, going back to work or doing outside activities. You're going back, you know, back to the couch basically to go watch TV after you just ate this gigantic meal. Your blood sugar is through the roof. Then it drops down with the insulin. And your body has to sit there and try to process 2,000-3,000 calories in one meal. It is not healthy to do that whatsoever. In fact, in most cases, it's much unhealthier to do that. And so this is why you start seeing a lot of the articles about intermittent fasting. If you do it, it needs to be done properly, and it needs to be done with the right nutrients throughout the day, along with like the Ultimate Multiple Powder and so forth. And again, you can also use small meals or small shakes like the GHI Cleanse. That's an incredible product to use with intermittent fasting because it will not spike blood sugar at all. It gives your body the raw nutrients and the detoxifying formulas to help cleanse the body out while you're doing the intermittent fasting. On top of that, gives you some additional protein so you're not cannibalizing all that muscle tissue, because that's one of the only other factors you run into that can be negative is if you're doing it just for dietary standpoints, intermittent fasting repeatedly day after day after day, it'll make it very difficult to maintain lean muscle mass and also maintain strength in the gym and outside of the gym because the body's so depleted and your body actually starts eating its own muscle tissue from lack of protein intake. So that's another one you really got to look at if you're getting into that, because what's happening is now a lot more people, and I do have to say this from a positive standpoint, and I get this question a lot now because more and more people are starting to get involved with their diet and realizing that this obesity issue that we're running into is not going away. One article that I was reading here, and it was going into detail on how the amount of individuals that are obese now in the United States, it's literally multiplying at an almost exponential rate. And it talked about here is how when you start looking at what's going on and the obesity levels and how there's so many people now that are basically coming down with all these health problems and all these weight problems, and how the United States is literally the most obese country in the entire world, yet people want to continually talk about the fact that, oh, it's no big deal, nothing to see here. We're just going to go on and pretend that it doesn't have a problem and there's no issues. The obesity rate in the United States has more than doubled since the late 1980s. This author cites a 2022 Lancet study finding that nearly 500,000 Americans die early every year as a result of excess body weight. And it's interesting because there's an article that the Washington Post just put out, and it says, as obesity rises, big food and dietitians push anti-diet advice. And the author explores how the anti-diet movement, a social media juggernaut that's begun as an effort to combat weight stigma and an unhealthy obsession with thinness, is being leveraged by food marketers to promote the consumption of highly processed and unhealthy products. And so it's interesting now. You've seen this concept of people talk about like fat shaming, the psychological impacts of weight stigma and how you should be comfortable in your own body and this and that. And there's a degree of psychological aspects that is true. The fact you shouldn't be going around just making fun of people, trying to make them feel guilty about certain things. However, at a certain point in time, if somebody's coming to you and they're saying, listen, I've got all these health problems, 1, 2, 3, 4 of these problems right here, running into all these issues, and you go, well, listen, you know, your ideal body weight should probably be around 170, 180 pounds, but you're 350. At some point in time, we're going to have to address your eating. Because at the base point of that, that's what it all comes down to, is dietary intake. That's what the base is. We're going to get to the baseline. This isn't shaming people. This isn't making fun of people. This is just scientific facts that you have to address. Your caloric intake has to come down. You cannot get your body weight under control. You cannot get your blood sugar, your diabetes under control. You cannot get other health problems under control until you address the weight, and the root cause of the weight is eating excess amounts of food. That's just a fact. There's no weight shaming here. There's no making fun of people. Everybody's got to deal with their own health issues. Everybody's got to deal with their own problems. I get that. But at the end of the day, if somebody needs help and they're having problems and they're asking you, you've got to be able to address certain problems and say, listen, this is the root cause of this. If you have somebody that's basically having issues with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and they have a massively swollen liver and it's not functioning properly and it's extremely fat, and you look at their diet and almost every single thing they eat has high fructose corn syrup in it, you got to take a step back sometimes and go, okay, listen, this high fructose corn syrup is grenading your liver. This is a serious problem that you have to address. If you can't address something and call it what it is, then you really can't ever fix the root problem. That's the truth. And there's certain topics that sometimes come up like this with health that a lot of times people don't want to bring up to it. And they're saying now in this article how a lot of these companies and marketers are getting on board and even funding a lot of these social media platforms that are talking about basically combating weight stigma and making people feel comfortable in who they are, and fat shaming needs to be completely rid of, and you should never talk to anybody or make them feel self-conscious about their weight. And again, what they're doing now, they're saying that this has brought in a reprieve from the burdens of the diet culture, and that we're hurting people at risk of health problems essentially because we're talking to them about their body weight. And essentially we're doing this in order to make sure that everybody feels happy, happy, happy all the time and nobody feels guilty about anything. And what's interesting, it says General Mills launched a multi-pronged campaign. I almost said attack. Really slip on that one. Campaign, it's basically the same thing, that capitalizes on the teachings of the anti-diet movement. One of these prongs and events, General Mills Senior Manager for Nutrition and External Affairs promoted the cereal's company's anti-diet message as a room of registered dietitians at the world's largest organization for food and nutritional professionals. They went on to say here that they shared the results of the General Mills funding on food shaming, defined as making people feel bad about what they eat. The research showed that food shaming led to a lower self-esteem and made people more likely to avoid the cereal aisle in grocery stores. What? I mean, this is a quote that they said. Fat shaming leads to a lower self-esteem and made people more likely to avoid cereal aisles in the grocery store. Well, for good reason. Cereal has no nutritional value in most cases whatsoever, 99% of cereal. There may be a couple decent ones out there that have some good nutrients into it. They're far and few between. I don't eat cereal. I've looked at all the cereals. I'm not a fan of cereal. I think it's a very waste of food in the morning. All you do is add in a bunch of carbohydrates in, and in most cases, people are using a bunch of homogenized and ultra-pasteurized milk on top of that. It's not healthy. You're much better off to eat a couple whole eggs first thing in the morning with a GHI cleanse. That's a stack that I have used for years that keeps you unbelievably lean, keeps you unbelievably strong, and keeps your blood sugar bounced first thing in the morning. Because a lot of times people don't realize when you're on that fast all night, so you're waking up and you're breaking that fast, breakfast, you do that, that kind of sets the stage for the rest of the day with blood sugar. Because what happens is if you wake up in the morning, you drink a GHI cleanse shake with, like, say, four whole eggs. Well, not only are you getting pretty much virtually no spike in blood sugar at all, you're maintaining healthy blood sugar throughout the rest of the day because you're starting it off on a smooth swing. You're getting healthy fats, healthy protein, digestibility protein as far as the GHI cleanse, and detoxifying nutrients, then throwing the multiple, you got yourself a stack. Well, then a couple hours later, you eat your next meal, and it's something very similar, like a small amount of rice with, you know, organic chicken and green beans. It's just like a base. Well, again, you keep that blood sugar stable. If you need to, take some berberine ultimate with it. So what happens is throughout the day, your blood sugar is doing this. It's real flat, nice and smooth, really comfortable. That, first off, helps you prevent you from storing body fat all day with the food that you're eating. Secondly, keeps your energy maintained much better. So you're not going on the swing of eating food, blood sugar drops, eat more food, drink coffee, have a five-hour energy, eat more food, take another five-hour energy, and try to fight the balance all day of up and down with basically the blood sugar. So when you do that, it keeps your blood sugar stabilized all day, keeps your body lean, keeps your body strong, and keeps your mental acuity much, much more effective. So what they're saying is here now that these food companies are trying to do everything they can to prevent people from talking about dietary habits, nutrition, diets, and health aspects, because what's happened is once people start understanding what's going on, they don't go to the cereal aisle as much. Imagine that. They're not even going and getting their Frosted Flakes and their Fruit Loops and all their food coloring, high fructose corn syrup, corn-ridden garbage cereal that has no nutritional value. That's why I've said before, cereal is one of the worst possible things you can give a child first thing in the morning. I know it's convenient. I got it. Been there, done that. If you're going to use some cereal for your kids, make sure you're trying to use an organic cereal that has a natural, clean sweetener in it that doesn't have a bunch of high fructose corn syrup, a bunch of food color, a bunch of processed corn. That's the best option if you're going to do it. But again, that's up to you and how you want to handle this. But I always thought it's really funny now with these groups, and you start to see now General Mills and multiple other companies are actually starting to fund these groups to push essentially the ideology that you shouldn't talk about people's weight and you shouldn't talk about the concept of trying to eat healthy or eat clean, because again, that makes people feel guilty about it and they no longer want to go in and actually get in shape and get better and healthier. Just a small tidbit on that. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting. More January 6 details emerged from another 20 hours of newly released footage. Another trove of footage released from January 6 provides a more complete picture of the day and additional transparency to the American people. Now, I've gone over this event, and most people have seen a lot of this event now over the last years, what happened and how insanely it's been handled and how it's been used as an excuse to come after every single patriot that even walked around on the stairs outside with a camera, you know, having the FBI kick in their door 3 years later to charge them with trespassing on federal grounds, and, you know, extraditing them back to D.C. and holding them with no pretrial release, I might add you, while you have individuals that are involved in violent crimes, carjackings, burglaries, home invasions, grand theft over in California, Chicago, and various other cities where they literally are arrested and they're back out of jail that same night after a violent crime because of basically the no bond policy now. They should just let them go out, $0 bond. Yet, again, you've had individuals that walked around outside on the stairs of the Capitol and they're charged 2 and 3 years later with the FBI SWAT team 5 a.m. at their door, kicking it in and arresting them for trespassing. This whole thing has gotten so out of control, it's insane. And now it's interesting, this new security footage made public by the GOP-controlled House has filled in details about the long-hidden and now the defunct January 6th Select Committee. That whole thing was a total fraud. And the security video that was uploaded last November, essentially that allowing people to watch this stuff and get it out there, they've watched more and more videos now. They're coming out now, and they're seeing what really happened with this. And what's crazy about it is the shooting with Ashley Babbitt. I didn't know this. I watched some of the video today, and some people sent me some clips of it when I was reading the article. The fatal shooting of 35-year-old Ashley Babbitt received zero attention by the January 6th committee. However, that specific singular incident is what triggered a lot of the hysteria that then exploded into a snowball effect that got ATF and FBI SWAT team dispatched and numerous other quick reaction forces dispatched to the Capitol building that made it appear that it was much, much, much crazier than it really was. And what's interesting about this, while the shooting itself was captured on video only by bystanders, but essentially the Lieutenant Michael Byrd, who was in a hidden position, had his Glock pistol essentially drawn, aimed at dozens of people just feet to his right. Miss Ashley Babbitt was essentially actually trying to calm down a lot of the crowd, and she went and tried to lunge forward through a part of a hole in the wall or in one of the windows. And essentially when she lunged forward, a single shot was fired from Mr. Byrd, shot Ashley Babbitt in the upper chest. As she attempted to climb through that broken out side panel of the entrance, the shooting was never announced as an officer-involved incident on the Capitol radio. It was sent out to dispatch. And what's interesting about this, the first video indication of the response calls for help at the south door of the Capitol. Capitol police officers had a 5-man SWAT team that later had ATF deploy a SWAT team to essentially every aspect of this quick reaction force that was sent out. Now, what's interesting about this is Ashley Babbitt was essentially declared deceased at 3:15, and the immediate effects of the fatal shooting was a massive police presence. And what's crazy is Mr. Byrd made out on the radio after he shot Ashley Babbitt, claiming that he was under fire and was returning fire. This was never true. There was never one single firearm discharged in the Capitol by any protester at any point in time. To my knowledge, there were not any protesters that actually were even caught carrying or brandishing a firearm on the Capitol grounds. Ever, period. Mr. Byrd was never under fire. He did not return fire. He shot Ashley Babbitt when she was clawing through that door. Now, should she have been doing that? Again, that's going to be a debate you have to take up with everybody. I was not in that specific situation. I only saw the video, so I can't really tell you what was going on. You know, I know the situation felt like it may have been escalating for some of the security officers there. Absolutely. Do I think that he used his firearm in a safe manner, a controlled manner to defend himself? No, I really don't think so. The fact that she was unarmed and the fact that he basically caught on the radio and said that he was returning fire and shots were fired, to me, that shows me right there on the radio that he was already trying to do damage control and justify the shooting at the time of the incident. If he discharged a firearm, he just shot somebody, you're going to be in a pretty heightened sense of awareness, correct? You're not going to be sitting there like, oh, ho-hum, ho-hum, let's just see what's going on here. No, you're going to be pretty heightened. And at that point in time, even his heightened sense of awareness, he already was making sure that he was doing damage control, meaning he pretty much knew the situation fairly well. He knew what was going on. He was not, being crazy or wild. He handled the situation the way he thought to handle it and then did damage control over the radio. And what happened was after he put that out there on the radio that he was returning fire and he was under fire, that's when all hell broke loose, and they sent ATF and FBI agents as far as SWAT teams in, because now you had quick reaction forces coming in, and they needed an excuse to be deployed because now you had essentially Capitol security under fire, meaning they're basically saying that they're pinned down and returning fire in the Capitol. That's a pretty big deal, quite frankly. That's the point now where you're like, okay, this has started to escalate. Now we're having a full-blown gunfight in the middle of the Capitol. And so the crazy part about this is, this massively heightened the incident of what occurred and made it appear it was something much, much worse than it was. When in reality, were there people being unruly and acting a fool? Absolutely. Were there people vandalizing and damaging things? Absolutely. Do we now know that a lot of the individuals that were damaging and breaking the basically windows out in the Capitol, that a lot of them were FBI confidential informants? Absolutely. So again, more information. I just want to address that because this whole thing has turned into such a giant nightmare as far as what's been happening and utilizing his excuse to round up patriots and essentially paint their own narrative on what they wanted to do. You got to make sure you look at everything from a full broad picture and not just the tiny little snippets that they wanted to try to force everybody to watch and view with the January 6th committee. It's crazy to me that it took almost 2.5 years for us to actually get the footage released to the general population, considering the fact that it was an incident that everybody was told, this is how it happened, don't ask questions, keep following the orders of what we talk about, and do not ask anything other than what we're telling you. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting. No, Ron Paul, is absolutely trash Speaker Mike Johnson in a stunning monologue. He said Senator Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is reported to have bragged to his colleagues. I talked to you guys about this last week, how easily Speaker Johnson gave Democrats everything they wanted and asked for nothing in return. This shows you that Speaker Johnson is not only unbelievably corrupt, he's an oath breaker. And he said, in the worst example of bipartisanship, Johnson reached across the aisle, stiffed the Republican majority that elected him speaker, and pushed to a massive gift to the warfare corporate welfare state after the House voted to send another $60 billion to notoriously corrupt Ukraine. Members waved Ukrainian flags on the House floor and chanted, Ukraine, Ukraine. While I find this insanely distasteful and disgusting, in some ways, it seemed fitting. Oof. That was Dr. Ron Paul. And, what he's blatantly saying here is these guys that are waving the flags and calling Ukraine out, they're essentially oath breakers and they're violators of the Constitution. They're treasonous. When you start having groups now that are absolutely bent on making sure that other countries have enormous amounts of money funneled to them while putting zero money into our southern border or any other crisis that we have here in the United States right now, there's obviously a point of treason that's being committed very, very clearly. And while nobody's wanting to address it, everybody's wanting to ignore these situations, Ron Paul called it out for what it is. And, I always wish that he could have been elected. I think he would have made a fantastic president. The problem is they would never allow him to be president because one of the first things he always kept talking about was auditing the Fed and disbanding the Fed. The Federal Reserve was never going to allow it to happen. If you guys remember, it was 10, 15 years ago. I don't have the article in front of me, but it was discussing how they basically had a partial audit. And when they had the partial audit, a bunch of the numbers didn't match up right out the gate. Rand Paul actually has brought this up. And it's simply they slapped their books and said, oh, by the way, we have to redress some things here. We'll get back to you and we allow you to audit us again. Ho-hum, ho-hum. That still has never happened. So, again, just what we're seeing here. Also, too, speaking of the military-industrial complex, this is crazy. Minigun-armed Mojave drone now blasts targets at 6,000 rounds per minute. This is the first time a drone system has now been fitted with basically miniguns. And these are the M134 miniguns. If you guys have ever seen them before, they're incredible weapons. They've been around since Vietnam. They fire between 3,000 to 6,000 rounds per minute. They have a cyclical rate that can be adjusted. They fire 7.62-51 or 308 caliber. What's crazy about this is this DAP-6R Mojave drone now was released with General Aeronautics Systems, showing how this is the first time drones now have been equipped with this level of machine guns. And as crazy as this weapon system that they've designed, so this DAP-6 carries two miniguns and can carry up to 8 Hellfire missiles at the same time, and it's completely unmanned. This is an aerial drone. This is the level of degree of weapon systems that are being deployed now, that are being used essentially allegedly in the battlefield and possibly later on in other situations that occur. And this is what's crazy about this, and the spooky part about drones that I've always told you about, is there's always this mixed context with them, is the fact that not only can they be made to be known to go autonomous, they can operate on their own if they need to, they also now are deploying AI systems, artificial intelligence, in some of the aspects of drone systems now. You start allowing these drone systems to operate autonomously and have AI control them. Guys, I think we watched a movie about this, Skynet, Terminator. I think they already discussed this in the 80s about this actually going on and happening and made it a giant film about it, yet we're watching it happen in real time right now. So while I think the equipment, the level of weaponry is pretty fascinating, I've always been a big fan of the minigun, and as far as how effective of a weapon it is, you've never seen it in action. There's certain places you can go and shoot them at, and you can rent them. Also, to the Knob Creek shooting event, they usually have a couple of them out there if you ever go to that event. But again, it's a weapon system that's very incredible, but now we're starting to fix them to essentially unmanned aerial drones that can now be operated autonomously. That's an interesting situation right there. It's something to be aware of. Also, too, in other news, this is something as well. The EU is now approving severe limits on cash transactions. They said the ban comes in the name of crime prevention, but critics are saying it's going to harm ordinary citizens more than it'll ever touch criminals. The European Parliament has now approved a directive that will severely limit the use of cash. I told you this guy was coming. Under the directive, claimed at curbing money laundering and funding terrorism, payments over 3,000 euros will be banned in any commercial transaction, and business transactions, cash payments over 10,000 euros, will be completely banned. Any anonymous payments in cryptocurrencies will now be banned. Now, that's a big one right there. Now, the fact that you have the EU coming in now and saying they're going to try to regulate and control cryptocurrency payments, how are they going to monitor this? How are they going to enforce this? And what are the implications going to be when they start going in and manipulating and controlling the aspects of the ability to have cryptocurrency transactions? This is a crazy world. This is why I told you guys before, the crypto world, there was some big money to be made in it. I know some guys that had some heavy hits. They did well in it. I know a lot of guys that lost some money in crypto. Either which way, it's your own opinion on it. But I told you guys before, the entire concept of Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency, a lot of it was based on the CIA and their involvement with different types of individuals that are able to build this platform and the blockchain technology, because it was a way to normalize and get the general population of the world okay with digital currency. And again, has it been a boom for certain people? Absolutely. Has it been a bust for certain people? Absolutely. But mind you, if you think that blockchain and cryptocurrency is going to be this external ability to be able to do digital transactions with nobody tracking you and the banks are never going to be able to regulate or control them, you're living in some type of Narnia world. I'm just being completely honest with you. And I don't need letters on it. I have numerous friends that are in the financial world that are very awake, that have done very well, and they have all told me the exact same thing. Can it be anonymous, and can you have aspects of it that are very beneficial and lucrative with blockchain and Bitcoin? 100%. Is it going to be used to be manipulated through the money supply system and making sure everything's tracked? Absolutely. That's also going to be a factor. And now that you have the European Parliament saying that payments in cryptocurrencies that are anonymous will be completely banned, and they want to say here, under the guise of combating money laundering, you're actually waging a war against cash, which has protected our financial privacy since the time, German Pirate Party MEP Patrick Breyer stated. Because here's the thing, here's the aspect you got to ask yourself with this. When you start allowing the government that manipulates the financial system to a degree that a lot of people have no idea about, and you start realizing that nothing they do is even remotely for your benefit whatsoever, right? Once you get that under control and you get that idea, and you start realizing what's actually happening with it, you start realizing that why in the world would you want to allow the government to come in and start telling you that this is what you need to do. This is how you need to act. This is what you need to buy. This is how you need to live. This is what you need to be able to buy and sell. And anything in between, we need to be able to monitor, you know, for your safety and protection. Because we got to make sure the pesky bad guys aren't money laundering. You know, so if we stop $3,000 transactions, it's going to stop money laundering. Newsflash, the biggest money launderers are the banks. Duh. They're the ones that do it all. They're the ones that control it all. They're the ones that manipulate it all. They're the ones that they're saying we're doing this to protect you while they're doing the very things they're telling you you're not allowed to do. So once you grasp that concept, you start realizing what's really happening. This is why I've always told you before, I've always been a huge, huge benefit or proponent of precious metals, which is my opinion on it, as far as with silver eagles, gold eagles, platinum eagles, anything in between. The reason why I've always told this, and I had a buddy of mine the other day, he's in construction industry. He's been doing very well, and he wanted to buy a few. And I told him, I said, dude, go to the local pawn shop. I said, make sure you get everything tested and it's clear. And I said, you know, go buy a gold eagle here, some silver eagles here. Just you get extra cash. I said, buy a little bit. And I said, at the end of the day, you know, buy a silver eagle. And I told people this, you know, in younger years, and this had a guy told me, he goes, dude, if you take just like 5%, just even just 5%, if you could do more. So you just take 5% out of what you make in the month. So if you make a couple $1,000s a month, you take out, you know, $100 a month, $150 a month, and you go buy 4, 5, 6 silver eagles. He goes, well, by the end of the year, he goes, you got 60, 70, 80 ounces of silver. And he goes, imagine if you did that for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and you just did it, just a tiny amount. And he goes, by the sudden, you're in your 40s or 50s, and you've got a considerable amount of precious metals that are sitting there in a safe position now that you have access to that nobody else can touch. Most people won't even know about. And it's just sitting there. And it's just that little extra nest egg. And I'm not saying don't have other investments, other aspects of things you're involved in. That's completely fine. But just having a little bit of metals here and there is a great directive. And again, it depends on you. I'm not giving you any financial advice whatsoever. But what I'm saying is here, we're starting to see now this debasing fiat currency we have in the United States with the U.S. dollar and everything else in between. It's on its way out. Also, too, now this is crazy over in Ireland. This war on the Irish population. I've been over to Ireland before. Beautiful country. The people over there are awesome. They're really fun to hang out with. And when I've gone over there before, it was amazing. It was probably 15, 16 years. Yeah, last time I was over there. It was a while last time I was over there. Well, maybe a little bit longer. And the population density there was predominantly all Irish. And what's crazy now is here, they've put in this new mayor now, the mayor of Derry, Ireland. And this Lillian Barr from Kenya, by the way, is now the Maryland of Derry, Ireland. And what they did was they did this manipulated, like, twist of their democracy, republic, whatever you want to call it over there, in order to get her in position without actually any votes. And what's crazy is she's now got on television and she's saying that anybody that opposes mass immigration to Ireland, they're small minority of far right people. She went on to say here, we cannot continue ignoring that this is a minority of far right people and people are living on edge. This is an organized terrorist group of people who want to harm immigrants in this country, and we have to take action now. We cannot call them a small group of people because it's an organized group who are radicalized. This is crazy. And she's blatantly saying that anyone now that protests this massive immigration, because a lot of people don't realize Ireland's getting deluged now with Middle Easterners. They're getting transported over there from all these other third world countries that we've bombed into oblivion. This is what they've been doing now for years and years and years in Europe. And what's crazy about this is now Ireland, if you've been there, it is not a big country. And they're taking in a massive trove of individuals. And the problem with this is, and this is, I've tried to explain to people, this isn't racist, this isn't bigoted, this is just simple stated fact of life. You can't take individuals from one type of society that are used to operating in certain elements of a third world country and place them in a first world country without any type of elemental controls and no aspect of training or introduction into societal norms and expect anything positive to occur with integrating those two individuals that are completely opposed on their beliefs, on their religion, on their behavior, on their basis of how they live. Everything, even sanitary hygiene aspects, and then put them together and be like, all right, guys, intermingle and have fun and enjoy each other. It doesn't work. All it does is turn into a giant conflict. That's what they're doing right now and having these massive conflicts arise because these individuals do not want to allow this to happen in their country, and I can't blame them. And so, again, this is crazy because this is always what happens. in a fallen country that's being taken over from within. As you start telling the general population, I've said this before, what you can and can't say. If you can control what people can and can't say, you'll start to control how people think, because then they will start to think to censor themselves. Once you start getting people to self-censor themselves and no longer think certain things and say certain things, they will start to control and self-censor their own actions. And they will actually change the societal norms of that area, because people will self-regulate for fear of reprisal. This is unbelievably effective psychological strategy, and it's unbelievably dangerous to society as well, especially when you have a society that's based on biblical values, principles, and ethics. And you turn around now and you take that same group of individuals and you start telling them that they have to start normalizing pure perversion. They have to start normalizing other groups that are diametrically opposed to their beliefs and their religious beliefs, and essentially bringing people in that are hardcore radicalized Muslims that basically believe in Sharia law. And you start allowing them to operate in your area of the world, and you tell them you can't criticize or say anything about anything they do, or else you're essentially a racist. That's a bad place to be, and that's what you're seeing now with all these things happening. And so, again, something to be aware of and something to address. Also, too, in other news, this is kind of funny. Ford is now reporting that they lost $1.3 billion on electric vehicles in the first quarter of 2024. $1.3 billion. In the first quarter of 2024, they said on average that they reportedly lost $132,000 on each electric vehicle sold in the first 3 months of 2024. Let's be sustainable, guys. This is clearly a very sustainable approach to business. It says the auto manufacturer's electric vehicle unit revealed Thursday they experienced a 20% decrease in sales volume and are now being forced to slash prices due to no consumer demand, at a point where they're losing $1.3 billion the first quarter. This is insane. They said the revenue for Ford's EV car, the Model E, plunged by 84%. Which the company blamed on EV price cuts across the auto industry. This resulted in a $1.3 billion loss before interest and taxes, and the massive per vehicle loss in the Model E unit. The recent figures are part of a trend of losses in Ford's, where essentially nobody wants to buy these vehicles. It said now the company officials are estimating that their EV division will lose a grand total of $5 billion this year in that industry, in that aspect of Ford. A $5 billion loss in 1 year. And they went on to say here, one guy wrote, he said, Americans don't want EVs. And at the level of Biden's climate hysteria requirement, people want them even less. Ford's EV Q1 losses soared to $1.3 billion. All Ford's profits came from the combustion engine vehicle sales and trucks. Imagine that. And what's crazy about this is now, I read an article where the guy, he was in this forum group, and he was saying how he went and got a deal. He thought he got a deal at an auction, and he bought like a Model S Tesla. It's like a 2014 model. It's one of the older ones. It had 150,000 miles on it. He bought it at auction for $9,000, $9,000. And it looked like everything was running fine at the auction when they did kind of a pre-inspection on it. Upon getting it home, it's having all these electrical problems. They do full charge on it, and it has 121-mile range at full charge, 121 miles. You can't even get to Daytona Beach from here. And and so he said, then they started running the codes on it. It's having all these problems. And on top of that, they're saying that essentially the battery brand new was like 250 mile range. You know, it's a 2014, so it's 10 years old. It's now dropped half the range from being new, and it's decreasing very rapidly now as far as the discharge on it. Even what it says, it has the mile range, 110, 120 mile range. It's dropping much faster. He said it honestly is probably going to average about 80 to 90 mile full charge range, which means the vehicle is useless. It's useless. I mean, that's literally a go-kart. That's a golf cart. I mean, you can't even sustainably drive something like that and actually operate it on a day-to-day basis. 80 mile range in real life, you're going to be pulling over and stopping every hour and sit there for 30 to 40 minutes to charge before you can drive another hour. Before you have to stop 30 to 40 minutes to charge, it's impossible to go anywhere, literally. And so what's crazy about this is, and he was saying how, what in the world's going to happen? That was 2014 when EV sales were bottom. Like, they were low. There weren't that many out there. So what's going to happen in 10 years when a lot of these newer vehicles that they claim have this great range on them start running into the same categorical problem? Because how are you going to dispose of these vehicles? Because essentially this vehicle that he has, it's useless. It needs to be scrapped at this point. And a real-world 80-mile range isn't a vehicle that has any sustainability as far as being able to drive and usefulness. And so now you got to start figuring out what to do with all these lithium-ion batteries and how to dispose of them and basically try to get rid of them properly and, you know, try to recycle them properly, which is unbelievably expensive and toxic. And so at the end of the day, too, what's also everybody's realizing is that the resale value on these vehicles, because of the depreciation, because of this, is going to the floor. These vehicles are not sustainable to drive by any aspect of monetary benefits at all. And then you start having Tesla come in and they start doing these giant rebates on these cars. And so it's all coming down to the fact that people are realizing this industry is a sham. You can't have the government try to force in a capitalistic market what everybody has to buy. And the EPA is doing this now. They're coming in and saying X amount of vehicles have to be fully electric. I don't understand how they're possibly going to enforce this when nobody wants to buy the vehicles. Ford's saying they're slashing the production. They're not doing it. And they're going to keep getting federal grants and green money to keep doing it. But eventually, at the end of the day, what is everybody going to do with all these vehicles on the lot? You go down to Bartow Ford. That's, I know the guys down there. I had a truck come in. I actually turned it down. I waited almost a year for it. It was an F-250. It just came in, and the sticker price was so insane. I looked at him. I said, you guys are going to have to come way off sticker on this. They said, oh, well, we can only do this and do this. They were discounting. I said, I'm not buying it. As these trucks are too soft right now. These things are dropping really, really fast. The sticker price got outrageous with Ford. I think they massively overbloated their MSRP on these trucks because what happened was, and I explained this to everybody, Ford had to extend and basically increase their MSRPs on their F-150 and F-250 and sorts in order to justify, in order to essentially subsidize the EV market. The EV market that they're losing all this money on, they said right here, majority of their sales came from combustion engine vehicles and trucks, primarily trucks. The trucks are subsidizing the EV market. And I looked at it and I said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to pay some overbloated price and lose depreciation vastly on this truck because it's so overpriced with MSRP just so Ford can subsidize their EV market. So I'm not going to do it. I said that this is insanity in the price that you guys are coming. So I turned it down. And so, of course, they tried to find another buyer, and then they called me up recently. Oh, are you sure you still don't want it? We can do a little bit better deal. And I said, oh, funny. Funny you didn't find another buyer for our orders. You told me you were going to have it sold the next day. I said, no, I'm a hard pass on that, guys. I'm not going to support Ford right now. I don't like what they're doing, and I think everybody's buying these trucks or subsidizing their EV market sector. Don't feel like doing it. And this is what's crazy right now with the vehicle market now. I was reading an article, and it was talking about how the incentives are back to essentially pre-COVID prices. Like, if you're going to buy a vehicle right now and you're not getting well off MSRP with rebates and discounts, you're getting ripped off flat out. They said, we're back to pre-COVID prices now as far as the discounts and stuff. And what's crazy is because a lot of these manufacturers got so greedy during COVID because the price of stuff was going up so fast and these dealers were putting these $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 addendums, ludicrous addendums on these vehicles, and people were paying it. That was the stupid part. People paying $20,000, $30,000 over for an F-250, and I'm like, I had $130,000 for this truck stock, and good luck when they offer you $70,000 in a year from now. Like, have fun with that one. And so what's happened is now these vehicles, if you wanted to get in one, then you can get a decent interest rate. Like the other day I saw something, and Volkswagen was doing some rebates on their vehicles, and then they were doing through Volkswagen financing. They were offering 1.9% financing. And I told one of my buddies, I said, dude, if you're trying to get in something like that, I said, if you can go get $6,000, $8,000 off sticker and then be able to finance it for 1.9, I said, that's pre-COVID deals. I said, at that point, I said, you're not, if you get in the right Volkswagen, I said, you're not going to lose much money on it. I said, because you're not going to have hardly any money tied up in interest in the note. And I said, you're getting so much off sticker. Even if the vehicle depreciates some and it drops down some, they're still giving rebates in the future. I said, you're not going to lose that much. I mean, you may take a little bit of a hit on it. I said, but it's not going to be crazy, especially like the MSRP on the SUV he was looking at was like 40-something thousand. So it wasn't some crazy, crazy vehicle. It's, you know, $100,000 because I always told people a long time ago, the higher the MSRP is. So if you look at a vehicle and say you got to look at the very base model MSRP and you got to look at the highest trim model MSRP. This is just some numbers I'll give you right here. So if you look at an SUV and say the base MSRP starting price, like no options on it, is say $35,000. And then you look at the highest MSRP price with every loaded out option and say there's $60,000. That gap, that $35,000 to $60,000 right there, that $25,000 spread, that's generally where the basis is going to be as far as your depreciation from the top to the bottom. Meaning if you buy that highest model value, you pretty much know where the floor is going to be on it. However, you got to understand that sometimes it can get even worse depending on the vehicle and the reliability of it. So I've always told people, you start looking at some of those ones, especially if it's a general just produced car, it's not a short supply vehicle, it's not a super high-end vehicle, it's not some high-end model, be very cautious on going with those super, super high-end models with all these bells and whistles and, you know, options. A lot of times during COVID, that was okay because you could buy those vehicles and they held really good because the demand was so high because there was no production. Now that the demand has gone way down and production's through the roof, those higher-end models, you got to be very, very cautious on getting involved in them. So it comes like diesel trucks. The diesel, you know, LTZ, packages like that, you'd be okay with them. You start getting some of these crazy ones. We start adding all these different accessories and all these different things on it. Be very cautious unless you know the market, because you can start losing a lot of money very quickly. Now, the fact that it started to recorrect and the COVID market has changed. The COVID vehicle market, that's why, like I said, it's over with now. So again, be cautious with that and be understanding if you're getting involved in any of that stuff right now. Also, too, in other news, this is an interesting article here. It was talking about how the vitamin C, we were going back to it here earlier, there's a benefit here, because I'm going to repost this on the website. It didn't post up. I had some people email me on this, and this is the article that I was going into detail last week on vitamin C with Dr. Nathan Goodyear, and he was talking about how he was using it with certain types of disease treatments. And so I'm going to get that back on the website because it didn't post up properly, and essentially why vitamin C is so important for the immune system and for infections and other types of diseases, and how regular usage of vitamin C is constantly important in using it throughout the day. I went into detail last week on this, on microdosing it throughout the day, you know, 400, 500, 600, 700 milligrams multiple times a day with food. And what that does is that gives you the ability to keep your vitamin C plasma levels elevated throughout the entire day. Because what happens is if you just take vitamin C, say, I took vitamin C one time every 3 or 4 days, the vitamin C levels drop in the plasma levels. And so you don't keep that consistent level, and you got to make sure you're maintaining adequate amounts of vitamin C, because not only does it help out with maintaining healthy muscle tissue and the immune system and various other health benefits, it also makes sure that your body has proper metabolism, proper immune function, proper blood sugar levels, and the list goes on and on and on. So be sure to read those articles on the website. I'll put them on there if you want to go into more detail on that. And then, just like I said, there's a reason why they tried to do everything they could during COVID to censor vitamin C usage, even though the benefits of vitamin C, I talked about it last week on the show, there's over 70,000 research documents now involving vitamin C talking positively about it. 70,000. How in the world can the FDA come in when there's an alleged viral epidemic, pandemic, plandemic, whatever the name people want to call it, and say that vitamin C is not a viable option to maintain the immune system and fight off a virus because it's not approved by the FDA, yet there's 70,000 research studies that prove otherwise, that it is healthy? How many do they need? 100,000? 250,000 research studies? Because I can tell you right now, they did a three-month study on the COVID-19 RNA gene therapy shot, one research study, and it showed to be horrific when you actually saw all the Pfizer documents. It did not do what they said it did. They lied to everybody about it. So the FDA says a vitamin that your body has to have because it cannot produce it on its own, it has 70,000 research studies pointing that it has positive benefits. That is not enough information to tell people that they should use vitamin C treatment for COVID-19 when they had it. But experimental RNA gene therapy shot that gets emergency use authorization under the FDA with only a three-month clinical trial that shows to have a host of side effects that continue to get worse the longer we hear about it. Well, that's science, guys. Guys, there is no science in any basis of what we're starting to see anymore now. There's no science. Science is devoid. When you start having doctors tell 5 and 6-year-old boys and girls that they can change their genders, they need to start working on doing gender transition therapy at 11, 12, 13 years old with puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones, putting boys on estrogen and females on testosterone at 12, 13 years old, and you call that science. We're past that gap of science now. We've gone off the waterfall into lunacy. That's where we're at with it. And so, again, this is why it's so important to be educated and research these things and know what's really going on, because the more information people get out there, the the more topics people can talk about freely, the more open we can get about a lot of this stuff, the more we can make a difference. And this is why they've done so much with trying to make sure that the general population doesn't have access to this information. This is why they censored everything during COVID. This is why you have a mayor from Kenya that's now been appointed, not elected, appointed in Ireland now, telling everyone that these terrorist Irish patriots are protesting mass migration, and they're not allowed to say anything or protest anything at all. They just need to sit down and shut up. Anytime you have someone telling you that you can't say this and you can't say that and you can't question anything they're saying, best believe they do not have your best interest in heart. And that's why it's so important to make sure you're doing your own research. Just like I said earlier, with General Mills coming out now and telling everyone that essentially they need to start working on making sure that the obesity epidemic is not addressed, and that nobody can talk about body fat. Nobody can talk about health problems. Nobody can talk about the issues that are occurring, because the vast majority of the population is becoming obese in the United States. When the obesity rate in the United States has more than doubled since the 1980s, and that the study in 2022, Lancet study, finding that nearly 500,000 Americans die every year as a result of excess body fat, talked about this earlier. When that comes out, and yet you have big food, big agri coming out and telling everybody that, no, the most important thing you need to eat in breakfast is some GMO corn cereal with high fructose corn syrup with ultra-pasteurized milk. That's what you need to do for your health. And you need to have 7 to 8 servings of whole grains every day. And that products like organic eggs and organic beef and organic butter need to be at the bottom of the list. You never need to eat those because, well, you know, you might get the bird flu from eating eggs or bird flu from eating beef. The insanity that they put out there now on a regular basis. So again, my friends, thank you for standing up and getting the truth out there. Thanks for getting us and writing us the emails. I've got a lot of positive feedback. Dad will be back later this week. I think I talked to him. I think his flight's coming in Wednesday or Thursday. So he'll be back on the show with us. So we'll have, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of stuff he's going to cover, a lot of stuff he's going to address in his trip, probably a lot of cool things that happen. I haven't talked to him that much because he's been out of country. So again, get ready for that. We'll be back on it back and forth later on this week. And so again, in the time being, if you need anything, you know where to get a hold of us at healthmasters.com. Be sure if you want to grab some of these I actually will probably be taking them to the office probably tomorrow or Thursday or Wednesday. So basically, these are going to be gone. And so I won't have my fancy display up here anymore. So I don't know what else I'm going to put up here for you guys. You tell me what you want me to put down the back. I like doing stuff so people can see stuff in real time and size. And again, like I said, with the packets on the inside that we have, they're super easy to open up. And again, next batch getting revised on some of the box information that was incorrect on here. That'll be coming up in the next couple weeks. So be sure to grab that. And the vitamin C on sale, product of the week. Incredibly good formula, one of our top sellers. You guys need anything, healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Be sure to follow us on team_healthmasters on Instagram, and be sure to write a comment on there and give us updates and feedback on the product. I appreciate the support, my friends. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.